You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Last night we were watching an old video on YouTube. It said it was posted 9 years ago, but based upon the content, the coloration, it seems like it might have been older than that. It was about therapy. It was called Constellation Therapy or Family Constellation Therapy, which utilizes a group setting where people are induced to take part in what would be called a dramatic yet very subdued interplay with somebody who has a issue or something going on in their life that they're looking for help or therapy. Let's call that person the client. They bring up a subject. For instance, last night it was, which one do we want to talk about? There was a woman, an American Indian woman, whose grandfather murdered her grandmother while her mom was 4 years old. And this may have been part of her trauma for her whole life.
Yeah.
And she never really dealt with it, so she came to this group setting to deal with it. In that group setting, the leader calls out a tall gentleman to play the role of the grandfather, another woman to come out and play the role of the grandmother, and then really doesn't give much instruction, just has them stand there and kind of take on a position of these two characters, and then basically let the situation take over. Mm-hmm. So they're not actors. They're just people who come to this group. They're not paid,
supported,
trained.
Yeah. So maybe they have other clients to do other issues, you know, but they collaborate
could.
In team doing this kind of therapy. And it's interesting.
It is interesting. So what goes on in this setting is that the woman playing the grandmother collapses on the floor. She gets into a ball. It's very quiet, and there's just a little bit of sense on that they're taking on the emotional content of the situation without knowing a lot of it. And that was one of the things that we read about, is they really don't explain the situation in big detail. They let the field,
the emotion, and people can have the experience versus the analysis.
The interesting part is that they allow let's talk about a little bit of the belief system in here, because there's a belief system in this as well, that the ancestors, the field of the family field, can arise and move the characters, the people who are playing these roles, into certain emotional states and give them this emotion and acting. And it's not a lot of words, again. It's more of just facial expression, body expression, and an overall feeling, or as they like to say, a feel.
So the therapy situation, you know, is a guy.
There is a leader to this, and then at some point he brings out another woman to portray the American Indian woman's mother. To portray her, and then they have these, quote, ancestors interact. And the idea of this is to bring out a healing, to have a healing of the ancestors to down the line, because the ancestors come before you, that you need to heal that relationship no matter how difficult, extreme. And it may not be, I don't know, was it forgiving or being understanding of maybe?
So the interesting part of this kind of therapy is the the teoría say that we take almost the 3 to 5 generation in our DNA and emotional and your brain. So sometimes we don't know what happened in our past.
Right.
But these impact who you are right now. So the idea, sometimes you know, oh, you have the history, the grandmama was killing for your grandfather. So the, you are a kid, you impact, and you carry on this feeling for all your life. Mm. It may impact to you. So the idea is that you forgive, you heal, you understand what happened in your past, and maybe you transfer for be more strong and move on.
So instead of avoiding the issue, mm-hmm. you approach it. Mm-hmm. We talk about that, right? So mm-hmm. if you ignore something, it always gnaws at you. It always yeah. plays a role. But when you approach it, maybe it is not as devastating as you once thought, or by coming to grips with it in a different setting, the situation may change in your mind. So if you look at neuro-linguistic programming, where you're rewriting a script, maybe you see it acted out here with these people, and you may meld the memory that you have with this new memory of forgiveness, or maybe it's acceptance. It's accepting things you can't change.
Yeah, sometimes it's some information in your subconscious that you don't get it. So when you have the experience, your brain make a click. And then sometimes we're talking about abandoned people. So sometimes you don't know that you have this kind of feeling, but maybe because happened in the past, not necessarily you know the history, but you know the way how the family carry out kids.
Right.
And maybe you repeat the same behavior.
That the behavior or the feeling or the result is programmed, and you know how you say opposites attract, and maybe it's not opposites, it's that feelings attract actions attract feeling. So maybe if something happened a few generations ago to somebody, they never speak about it, mm-hmm. but now their whole life they're acting in certain ways that are a reflection of what had happened, and that reflection can cause a re-reflection back to that original thing that happened. And now you've just, you know, if you were abandoned, if your great-grandfather was abandoned by his mother, he may act a certain way in his family, and it may not really ever be directly speaking about mm-hmm. what happened. But his actions may cause a re-reflection of that original setting. And you're like, was it just actions or was it passed on in the DNA? Mm-hmm. We're hearing about this study, and I'm not going to go into the study so much as to the potential. This blew my mind. This is a potential huge implication, and I want to actually do more research before fully presenting it. But there was a study done where drug use would change the DNA structure. So, you know, your genes can either be triggered or not triggered, right?
Modify.
So, well, let's not talk about modify yet, but let's just talk about the expression of your genes. Mm-hmm. So we have certain genes that may or may not express in us. But this study showed that once this change occurred, that change in your genes through your life, if you then get pregnant or if you get someone pregnant, you may be passing on a gene that now is expressed in your life that wasn't expressed before, which can change the gene pattern of further generations. So the idea is that if we do something physically, chemically, emotionally, that changes our expression of genes. And I talked to you about this last night, which is our body thinks that this expression was needed to survive, and that's why it was expressed. So what's the best thing for it to do? Pass it on to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So could we be passing on behavior if learned late enough in life, or should I say early enough, that it impacts our own expression of genes, how we exhibit those things in our life? So this is more of a hypothesis that we want to do more research on.
Yeah.
But can our changed gene scope
no,
be passed on.
We're talking about some kind of, we can say, modismo, way how you talk, how you did,
right.
and you found some child that never see the father for a life, and when talking and move the hand or sleeping, is exactly the father based upon that he never met the father. So
right.
Is the gene also take us some kind of behavior in your body?
Well, they talk about twins, right? Mm-hmm. Twins that live in very different places that were separated at birth that have very similar, not only how they look similar, because that's mm-hmm. they're twins, but they have similar actions and similar, maybe if they're two guys, they have similar girlfriends or similar lifestyles, and
mm-hmm.
and they've never spent any time together.
Yeah.
So can the behavior be passed on in the DNA? And I think we all believe it can be, right?
Yeah.
A certain amount's passed on,
yeah,
and a certain amount is learned. So let's get back to constellation therapy.
So
it's an exciting thing. I will. Here, this is the title. The title is Constellation Therapy. It's actually Family Constellation Therapy. But by adding the family to this slide, it had too many words, knocked it down. I had to remove the family.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to remove the family. We want to actually address the family. We wanted to talk a little bit about some terminology. We wanted to talk about family constellation. What is it? Where did it come from and all that? And in doing so, we did a little research, and this research was actually kind of interesting because it brought up to us where the roots of this therapy came from. Because part of it seems like this makes absolute sense,
mm-hmm.
and some of it's like, is it really helpful? So I was looking for studies and research on saying, is it valid? Is it reliable? Are there good outcomes? It's scientifically based. And you got kind of a mix of reads on it. You got some studies that said, if done in the proper setting with the proper instructor, you can get beneficial results.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had others that if you didn't have a good instructor, you wouldn't. But isn't it the same with any
therapy?
Any
kind of psychology. But
sometimes therapy works because it works, mm-hmm. not because of the reason people think it works, right? So
mm-hmm.
the whole idea behind family constellation therapy is there's a lot of belief in it. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of psychology behind it. It was developed over years by a German, a German therapist by the name of Bert Hellinger, who lived from 1925 to 2019. It's supposedly an offshoot of Gestalt therapy and psychodynamic therapy. But there's even more. So let's look at who this German therapist is.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up during, he grew up through Nazi Germany. He tried to get out of Germany. He ended up going to South Africa at some point. I'm not going through the earlier days, but he lived in South Africa for 16 years. He became and was a parish priest, teacher, and headmaster of a very, very large school. He ended up becoming the administrator for over 150 schools in South Africa. He became fluent in Zulu language. He participated in rituals.
Mm-hmm.
He was accepted amongst the people.
Wow.
Because of all that he was doing, his interaction. He learned a lot from them. And he gained a massive appreciation for the Zulu worldview. So now I'm going, okay, how does this fit
mm-hmm.
into family constellation therapy? He is the person who developed it over years. And part was developed through this found appreciation of the Zulu worldview as well as their traditions. Basically, it's looked at, it can be called, by the way, systemic constellations, systemic family constellations, family constellation therapy, they're all the same thing. If you look it up, you'll find someone calling it pseudoscientific therapeutic method. It has roots in science. It also has roots in, I don't want to call it mythology, but religion or world blue.
The blue world.
World views. But it was three things are what it's attributed to: family systems, existential phenomenology, and Zulu beliefs. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about family constellation therapy, where this came from. And we talked about the three things, right? The three things were family systems therapy, mm-hmm. existential phenomenology, mm-hmm. and Zulu beliefs. And by the way, like, you start going down, this is like that old rabbit hole thing. You find one thing, you go down to figure mm-hmm. out what that actually means. And then it has terminology that means, oh my gosh.
We tried to humor it, yeah.
Hopefully. So let's go to that next one. So we did that. I'm going backwards. I'm going the wrong way. Here we go.
Okay.
So family systems therapy. Let's talk about that first. That was developed by psychiatrist Murray Bowen in 1950. That the idea behind it was that one member's situation will impact all of the family. Mm-hmm. Their group dynamics in a family and how individual actions affect all involved, that there's no way to separate an individual's action in a family from the rest of the family. And family systems therapy turned out to be used a lot, or is used a lot, for substance, alcohol abuse, depression, disorder. Anxiety.
Disorder.
Bipolar personality disorders, physical disabilities, that when there are challenges for one person in a family, it's actually a challenge for all.
Impact.
And it does. It impacts. And so the family systems therapy, as you look at the family as a whole, and this is the family, it's not mm-hmm. it's not ancestors, this is the family, but how it all interacts, and that mm-hmm. this person's problem can affect you, mm-hmm. your problem can affect them. And if you get help by yourself, how that can also help others without them knowing. Mm-hmm. But this is a way to bring everyone together into a therapy. And there are eight key points. And I'm not going to put these on screen, but the eight points of family systems therapy is the differentiation of self, that a person and individuality of a person develops with and separate from family or social groups, meaning you're developing your own personality, yourself, distinct from, you're differentiating from that family or social group, but at the same time, your differentiation changes and challenges the rest of the group.
Okay.
So as you pull away, you basically are forming, you're helping form the other people within your group as you differentiate. Because mm-hmm. each of you differentiate as you grow. The second is the triangle. So we went from the self to the triangle. Triangle is any three people and how they interact. And I thought that was interesting that they go from one to three, not from one to two. But when you get to three, the dynamic between the three people can affect the rest of the family. So maybe there are three people that are always having issues mm-hmm. in the family. Because one's over here, and one's trying to be the mediator. Mm-hmm. But they impact everyone else. Then the nuclear family emotional process, that there are patterns that occur in the family, including marital conflict, dysfunctional in a spouse, impairment of one or more children, and emotional distance. So the nuclear family being a together family, how it interacts can be. So it's, once again, one person, three people, and then let's call it the nuclear family.
Okay.
Next, the family projections process. So people can project their feelings onto others emotionally, and we talk about how that can impact somebody's actions, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily actions getting actions, but projection of emotions impacting actions, or emotions impacting emotions, and that type of thing. So it's doing that. And the rest of these are multi-generational transmission process, that small differences in the differentiation between children can lead to large differences among extended family members over time. So if you ever remember this theory of, if you can just change 1% every year, in 10 years, you're more than 10% change because it's exponential.
Okay.
So small differences in children, when they have their offspring, there can be small differences, but over time, that can be large differences. So if there is a impactful event that happens to one person and that changes that family dynamic, you know, relatives to each other, looking back to where they started, there can be vast differences.
Mm-hmm.
So small differences can become vast differences over generations. The sibling position in family systems therapy, the sibling position is very important. That birth order can affect the dynamics, right? So the first person born feels that they're entitled to everything.
Yeah.
Their parents focused on them.
Yeah.
You know. And then the second person comes in and they're like, hey, I'm here. Look at me. And they want attention.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the middle child syndrome, right? That your older sibling got all the attention. Now you're the second. Now they don't like you because they had all the attention. And now the parents are sharing the attention. And you come in and that older person is bigger and wiser and smarter and stronger. And you're intimidated and you're just trying to get someone's attention. So middle children typically become entertainers.
And have their own show.
And have their own show on LA.
By the way.
So sibling position, we talked about that. Then family conflict with no resolution can end up having an emotional cutoff where people just say, never talking to you again.
Yeah, or not talking this topic ever, so.
Right. You sever the relationship or you just cut off conversation of that subject forever. And now, even not talking about it still affects everyone because in the back of their head, this is the thing I can't talk about. And what happens when I say, don't think about pink elephants?
Yeah, you see.
You think pink elephants all the time. Finally, number 8, emotional processes in society. So broader social and cultural influences and emotions can impact the family and family relationships. Politics, right? That maybe you start getting emotionally involved in politics, someone else's, and all of a sudden now social emotions come into the family and now you have a bad thing happening in family.
And also right now with the different generations, so you have a teenager in home, you have old people in home, so the thinking society is different and sometimes you have a conflict because you are more ability with use the phone, the media stuff, and the parents don't have, and sometimes this is created.
Yeah, the parents just don't know anything.
And belief also is bad, you know?
Right.
So it's a, you're not using this because it's bad for you versus balance between how much you
which brings us to the idea is, I have all this information on my phone. You don't know technology, so I know so much.
Exactly.
And then you have what happened to you yesterday. I don't want to exercise because exercise is bad for me. What do you mean? Oh, I read something on Instagram that exercise is bad for you.
Because they have somebody die with heart attack when running.
Yeah.
So impact so much, and then I don't want to run.
So what I do is I go, okay, show me the article, let me see it. Now let's actually start doing research with, research on this, and let's see. Maybe it's correct, maybe it's not. But that one statement you saw of that one person.
You believe that and create belief and this. But also one important, the family system is the hierarchy, because I hear
the
about
hierarchy.
Yes, I don't know if the next slide we can talk about, but the year by year, the hierarchy in the family is something that the people follow, and it's important to understand.
It's important to understand, and later on we have a review of this, that the parents are supposed to be the parents. They're above the children, and then the great parents are above the parents, and it goes back that the ancestors generally speaking, the ancestors are very much honored. And you go back to the Zulu tradition, and that is the case, and what we're going to talk about that in a minute, which I'll continue clicking on here. So the existential phenomenology, basically, that existentialism or psychotherapy, we'll talk about that first, a philosophical method of therapy dealing with inner conflict over existence. So death, the inevitable death, is going to happen. Freedom is something that sometimes you have freedom. Well, with freedom comes responsibility. So that's something that people have conflict with, is I can do this, but then I have that. I can do this, but then I can get in trouble. I can do this, and then I can hurt somebody. Isolation. Isolation is that we're born, and we may feel disconnected from society. We may feel disconnected with others. We go home, you know, we have to work. We have to live somewhere, and a lot of people feel lonely. Mm-hmm. They feel isolated. And meaninglessness, being, why are we here? What's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of lice? You got to pick them. But the meaning of life, you know, we without meaning or feeling meaningless is another thing that is very, very difficult to deal with, and people are dealing with all the time. They're trying to figure this stuff out. And then the phenomenology, which I thought was really interesting, because I was trying to read this and it was very difficult, because it deals with our subjective experience. And I'll put this up on screen. The structures of consciousness as experienced from the first person point of view. How you feel about something, your body feels about it, your mind, the emotion, your memories, your actions, imagination, and social activity, including language. Now, what the heck does that all mean? It means when I try to express in my subjective point of view what I'm experiencing, the phenomena of life, and this is what I'm experiencing. Two things. One is I'll experience it completely different than you will, because of all those things, my memories, my thoughts, my body, how I see, my senses, that my past experiences, my emotional state right now biases me and filters what I see and how I bring it in. But not only that, but how it's presented, right? So how it's being presented to me. Mm-hmm. And then what is it? You know, what's our action at the time? The language was interesting too, is that how does language impact our experience? Is that if I see something and I've never seen it before and I have no words for it, it's, you know, I try to explain to somebody what I saw and I can't. And so therefore I have a unique subjective experience of something that I can in no way or form relate to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I'll put it this way. You flip a coin and it lands on its side like this. You're looking at it from one side. I'm looking at it from another. And I see Lincoln's head and you see the Lincoln Memorial over here. And I say, oh, it's a person's face. And you're like, no, it's a building. And we're seeing the same thing. One, it's that simple. It's a different point of view. But if you've never seen a circle before, I said, well, what is that shape? And you're like, I don't know. And I've seen 100 circles before. I'm like, oh, it's a circle. Mm-hmm. And then I say to you, it's a circle. And now you don't have a word called circle in your language. Okay. You're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So this thing about, this is just another thing, is that because we have our own unique experiences on phenomena, this is another study that is part of this family constellation, because people will view the same thing differently. They'll react differently to it. And then if it's unspoken because they don't know how to convey it to someone else, then it stays with them and it impacts them. And for one thing, people think sometimes disease can be caused by this.
Wow. That's
interesting. Let's continue on here. Now, this blew my mind, because I was not... When I started this with you yesterday, I didn't think we were going to go down this path. But I told you this seemed like a little bit religious in a way.
Yeah, some spiritual practice in the video.
Because I talk about morphogenetic field. So the morphogenetic field having to do with the impact of our ancestors that are still around us in energy, and how they can create a field of this situation and that action. So when the gentleman was there who had beaten the grandmother to death, and the grandmother's on the ground, and the mom's there, that they are relying upon this energy field of the ancestors to come and basically bring the situation to life, more in emotion than in drama, but to basically create the picture from that. And when we were seeing that, it's like there's a big belief system that's part of this family constellation therapy. And here we go. Zulu beliefs. Ancestor worship is part of the Zulu belief system. They believe that ancestors connect the spirit world to the living world. So basically, the ghosts or spirits of their ancestors can bring
in this
the
session,
spirit world to, well, this is the session, but I'm talking about Zulu now.
Okay, Zulu.
But this, but you'll see how it ties in, is that the ancestors bring the spirit world to the living world. That dreams, sickness, and you see it, even snakes, are representatives of ancestors.
Okay.
So you can have your ancestors reveal themselves to you in your dreams. They, you, things that happened in the past with your ancestors may make you sick. And also, if there's snakes, which I think are like signs of, I'll say signs of evil, maybe not, maybe it's signs of food, who knows? But here's something else, that that snake could represent an ancestor or be brought to you by the ancestor. That ancestors have great power and they can control the forces of nature. In fact, if things are good when your ancestors are with you, that if your ancestors are with you and supportive of you, then good things will happen. And if your ancestors have turned away, turned their back on you because you've turned your back on them, bad things will occur. And so this is the belief. And so how you reconcile bad things in your life is by making amends with your ancestors and in that hierarchy. So your ancestors first. So when he put those people in therapy session, he put the great-grandmother, sorry, the grandmother and the grandfather first.
Okay.
Then he put the mother. Then he puts the daughter. So it, the spirits relate in a maybe an honorable. He's doing it in the Zulu tradition. I'm assuming of having the hierarchy there. The older ancestor is the highest in that hierarchy. So bring them out first, then the parents, then. So it's honoring in that way, and then the idea is to help reconcile that situation and for people to apologize and accept and say, I accept, you know, I'm proud of you. And we, you know, you can watch these videos on YouTube and get some really good stuff out of it. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Maybe we should call this Infinity Soulmate because we could go back for thousands of generations of soulmates.
Yeah.
What do you think?
We have more child now. We don't have yet.
Let's talk about some discussion points on family constellation therapy. The goal is to uncover hidden dynamic that spans multiple generations and resolve the damaging effects. So again, bring the hidden issues to light and to resolve the damaging effects of those going back generations. Ancestor, and not ancestor worship here, but ancestor ancestor recognition and resolving of issues. And then how it's done is that the leader of the group session will persuade the client to select through selected representatives. So they're trying to have the client or the person who's having the challenge utilize these representatives who are just other people in the audience or other people in the group who come back because they like being part of this. It really has meaning to them and for them. That these representatives represent the ancestors. They encounter the situation and the client is to accept the factual reality of the past, making amends or at least accepting what happened, maybe not feeling great about it, but resolving the issue. And what I read about this was that some people go, I'm sick. I have this problem. And then so this whole thing will be revealed and the sickness doesn't necessarily go away, but they feel more at peace with the sickness, that this stress that has been bothering them, that's been eating away at them, that may or may not have some contributing impact to the sickness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's miraculously the sickness goes away, but it could be that the way they deal with it is different, and now that the way they're dealing with it is different, their outcome, their well-being may increase. They may have a better outcome because of this. That here's a couple of notes on family constellation therapy that some people say it deviates significantly from conventional forms of cognitive behavior and psychodynamic psychotherapy. Some described it as quantum mysticism. And when we were looking at that, they actually talked about that. Maybe there is a quantum entanglement of souls. So our ancestors and their past have, you know, we're entangled with them, if you accept quantum entanglement as a true thing that's possible, then if this essence of that person exists forever out there, then can we somehow be impacted by their field, by their energy?
Yeah.
That Bert Hellinger incorporated the speculative idea of morphic resonance into his explanation of it, meaning that this field or energy of ancestors can morph this group, these volunteers, these representatives can morph. There can be a field, an energy field morph in that room, creating this dynamic that can help resolve the issue. So he had a belief that there was a true bringing of the ancestors through the representatives that would help recognize the ancestors and resolve the conflict.
And the ancestor has to be dead, or is he alive?
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. Can you have a representative of someone who's living?
Mm-hmm.
I represent someone who's living.
Okay.
Some days. And then lastly, positive outcomes. Some people said positive outcomes were credited to conventional explanations such as suggestion and empathy, that people were given suggestions by being in this therapy, and therefore it was, you know, this is what really helped. It wasn't these other things. But in the long run, does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter what the help was? Because a lot of psychology is based upon tendencies, not exact laws. Research shows that there's a 70% likelihood of this is the outcome, and there's a tendency, and we don't know why. We sometimes don't know the exact causation. We may know the correlation, and we know, well, if we do this, there's a likelihood there's an outcome, but we don't know if the reason we have the outcome is because of variable A, B, C, or D, or some unknown variable that's affected by these things in the same way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whoops, we already did that one. We talked about that. This is somebody writing about family constellation. I thought these were very good things because this has to do with hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this has to do with children, because the things that most of these people who want to go into these sessions to resolve are things that happened as children. These are the most impactful, the most devastating, the most challenges that occur for the longest period of time are things that happen to us when we're children. This writer Marine Salene, which I probably mashed up that, wrote a book called Connected Fates, Separate Destinies, Using Family Constellation Therapy to Recover from Inherited Stories of Trauma. So I want to go back to that, inherited stories of trauma. So we talk about how trauma can affect you even though it didn't happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
The woman's whose mother's mother was beaten to death by her husband, the grandfather or even great-grandfather, that trauma comes all the way down to you, so it's inherited by you. And you can pass that on to your children and your children and your grandchildren. And it's one of those things that it might even skip a generation, but it's passed on. Where did this come from?
Yeah.
The idea, though, is that how do you use family constellations therapy to recover from this? I'm not going to go into how to do that, but let's talk about children. So she says that there are fundamental rules for children. Children want to have and feel the right to belong to a family. They want to understand that the family and the parents especially need to ensure and protect a child's belonging to that family. That's number one. And the way to do this is to communicate, I see you as a child. And I'll explain that in a little bit more detail. I hear you. I recognize you. So it's connection with the child. I see you, I hear you, I recognize you, I connect with you, right? Mm-hmm. So you have that. Now, very interesting about this, seeing your child, recognizing your child, but as a child. Here are the warnings for when you don't, what not to do, don't recognize your child as an adult. So these are sometimes where problems come from, where a child becomes a surrogate for a missing adult. We're in a relationship for a long time, our spouse leaves, and now we start relying upon our child for conversation, for discussing problems with our partner who left. We put too much responsibility on them at home. They no longer are this child. So saying, don't do that. That can create trauma in the child. Children are not our confidants. We don't tell them secrets that we would be telling adults, right? Mm-hmm. Don't tell your uncle, but he's a blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Now that secret's with the child. The child doesn't know what to do with it. Children are not to be relied upon for emotional support. And this sometimes happens, I'll explain from my standpoint, when a child dies in a family, and now the other children are sad because of that, but then the parent starts depending upon the children for emotional support to help support them from the sadness of losing the child, it's a double whammy. You lose your sibling, and now you're supporting a parent for emotional support. And maybe what should be done is that family go to therapy and each talk to someone else, but it's not the parent relying upon the child to make them feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, children are not your best friend. And I found the way she wrote this in the book was hilarious. She said I'm going to paraphrase it. She thinks she's going to make people angry by saying this. Oh, my child is my best friend. No, your child's a child. Your child's not a best friend. You're putting too much pressure on them. I've seen this so many times, and at first, that sounds so good. It sounds so nice. We think we're doing a good job. But again, they're not your best friend. They didn't choose to be your friend. Friends are chosen. Friends can come. Friends can go. Your child has to feel like they belong as part of the family. Not that they're your
hierarchy.
Right.
Status. Yeah.
So why? Because children depend on the parents to survive. Children count on the parents for social emotional structure. Children need their parents to help them develop the skills they need to become functioning adults, not to be your friend. Finally, again, friends choose each other.
Yeah.
Children don't have that choice.
They don't have option.
That's too much stress for a child.
Yeah.
We think, oh, they're so mature. No, you're making them mature before they need to be mature.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving them the emotions and you're forcing them into psychological gymnastics that they don't need to have. And it's tough because I know people who maybe don't have a partner or they have a child that they are really close with and they're become very close with and it seems like it could be a good thing.
Yeah.
But what is being learned is that it may not be a good thing. You are using somebody as a support mechanism that now you're going to impact and affect for the rest of their life.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you want to hear some bad stuff?
Yes.
Okay. So, Hellinger alienated and distanced some colleagues as well as practitioners because of his eccentric behavior. He made sweeping statements that reduced complex issues to single root causes. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He addressed some clients in a caustic, authoritarian tone. Yet, he did leave a legacy of therapy that has been built upon and continued to this day. So I'm going to go back to one of the things we saw. It was, and we were watching the woman who had a schizophrenic mm-hmm. daughter.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking and they had different representatives play the role of a father and role of a mother and the role of the schizophrenic daughter and the two being pushed away by the daughter and this and that. This was where Hellinger actually was guiding the group.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was thinking that the challenge I'm having with this, and this is why I'm being impacted by it, is this, this, or this. And he came out with one word, it's this.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see how some people are taken back that the person thinks it might be these other things, and he was very authoritarian in saying it's this, it's that. But I think some of that is to direct to one thing, solve for one thing, get that off the table, rather than it's this, this, or this. Now you have
Tao and your energy
right.
go away.
So part of maybe his way he led that session was to be really direct and directive, to get convincingly, because of his authority, he had a level of authority, mm-hmm. he created this practice, if he said this, then it was this. I believe that. Now I start to heal. And it's the belief that maybe that was positive impact, and other people may have said it as, or saw it as being too harsh.
And when you're talking about root cause, or single root cause, and my job when we have finding, you know, so the system, you can put more the root cause, but typical, I say, take a the more strong. And maybe it's solver 45 or 60% of the problem, and then you figure out. But if you pick more than one, so your energy is sprayed for many, mm-hmm. many stuff, if you don't know really that was the root cause, you know? So I guess that is interesting to know.
It's interesting how he picked mm-hmm. that. So as an end result of all this thing, let's go to our little ending slide here. Whoops, I just lost for a second. There we go. That today we are more connected and yet feel more separated than ever before.
Yes.
So much information. The great unknown of our existence begs us to reconnect and heal. That can be with each other. That could be with our ancestors. That can be with the unknown. We were talking about why do we exist? And we don't know, but if we don't contemplate it and think that these things can be possible and think of maybe the underlying phenomena, maybe it is real. Maybe there are our ancestors trying to talk to us, trying to help us from the spirit world. And maybe if we even believe that, we will have a more connected view of ourselves, of each other, of the world. And maybe that is a good and positive thing. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.